You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Andy Borowitz, sitting in for Leonard Lopate for my final hour of the week. Where did the time go? Here on WNYC and WNYC.org. Novelist William Gibson probably always be known for his dystopian thriller Neuromancer, which has become a staple of many university literature courses. In that 1984 book, Gibson coined the term cyberspace long before the internet was a part of daily life. Gibson's new book, Zero History, is the final installment of a trilogy that began in 2003 with the novel Pattern Recognition. It's published by Putnam, and I'm pleased that it brings William Gibson to our show. William Gibson, hello.
Well, hi.
Are you in the middle of a big book tour? Your books are always an event because you have so many fans out there who are eagerly awaiting. And this is the final part of a trilogy. So you really are leaving people hanging until you come out with that final part.
Yeah, I've given them closure, and now they have to wait for something new to start. But I'm at the very end of a pretty extensive North American tour, and then I jump to London and service the British edition for a week or so.
And, you know, when you're writing in the sci-fi genre, I have a friend who was one of the producers of Lost, and yeah. Lost was one of these things where it became this cult, this very fervent cult, and there are people debating it you know, ardently on the internet about what do the numbers mean and what does this mean and what's the reality, blah, blah, blah. Do you, as a writer, have to tune that out, or are you engaged with your fans on the internet? After all, you coined the term cyberspace, so do you turn your back on it? I know you're active on Twitter.
Well, I like to be engaged with my friends and tune that out, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I like to know what's going on and get a sense of how readers are feeling. But when I sit down to write a book, that just sort of all goes away.
I've been curious. I've been asking a number of writers this week this question. Do you have any rituals that you do to kind of tune out? That's where when you sit down, you're going to do your day's work. Or is it just automatic at this point? You just say, okay, now I'm back into the world of my book and I'm really not thinking about the outside world.
Oh, what happens for me when I start a book is that I go through a really painful period of sitting down and gradually admitting to myself that I have absolutely no idea where to begin. And somehow it's always been like that. It makes me very uncomfortable.
And how long does that phase usually go on?
It can go on for a week or two.
Well, that's not that bad.
And it results in this kind of bargain basement zen emptiness out of which peculiar artifacts start to emerge, sentences or sort of visual impressions of something. And it's like seeing things looming up through a fog of pure nothingness.
Well, you know, a lot of writers, speaking for myself, experience that zen emptiness without anything ever emerging. So I think you should consider yourself fortunate. At least something comes out of there. But I'm curious because I don't want to do this cyberspace thing to death, because that's probably a question you get asked all the time. But in a larger sense, you're a futurist. You're thinking about the future, and you're thinking about our society and our culture and how that's going to be in the future. What's your input? What are you taking in to form your sense of where we are? Or is this just, or are you just living your life and things kind of seep in?
I live my life, but I live my life as a very conscious generalist.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's like being Leonard Lopate for a week. I've got to tell you, being a generalist, you hear about a lot of different things.
Yeah, you have to. Well, sometimes I indulge myself in narrowly obsessive forays into things that capture my attention. But otherwise, I just try to take in as broad a mix of the zeitgeist as I can. One of the things that people forget about futurism, if you can call what I do that, and sometimes I wonder if you can, but one of the things people forget is that all we have to work with vis-a-vis the future is the present and the past. Mm-hmm. Whatever no one really knows what the future will be, but whatever it will be, it's always a mix of the present moment from which every future emerges and the history that preceded it. So it's not as though I'm looking into a crystal ball. I'm looking around myself, and I'm looking back mm-hmm. at what people have done before. And that's where the future lives.
I'm talking to William Gibson about his new novel, Zero History, published by Putnam. This is Andy Borowitz sitting in for Leonard Lopate on WNYC and WNYC.org. When you were growing up and you were discovering reading and getting excited about books, were you a sci-fi fan? Did you have sci-fi authors that you liked?
Yeah, absolutely. And really pretty much from the start of my life as a reader. But when I learned to read, futurism was virtually the entire language of American popular culture, because it was in the 50s. And it was that era that put rocket tail fins and trim on family sedans. There was a lot of sort of proto science fiction on early broadcast television, and advertising in America was frequently about our capital F future, when your father would have a flying car.
Well, I grew up with the Jetsons in the 60s, and that I'm still kind of bummed that future never came, because I thought the flying cars and jetpacks were going to be amazing. I guess we got it kind of wrong, because back then we were thinking that everything was going to be about supersonic transportation and we'd be able to fly everywhere, but nobody ever told us that we would be walking around with computers in our pockets. That was we totally missed out on that, that we'd be able to send videos around the world from our pockets.
Yeah, we absolutely did, in much the way I missed out on cell phones in my first novel.
So, well, what did you do? How did you get that wrong? What did you do instead?
I did cyberspace.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you were ahead of the curve.
I did cyberspace, and if someone had suggested to me that each character should be equipped with a small battery-powered radio that operated through the telephone system, I would have said, that's ridiculous. That's corny. No one will care about that.
Well, so when you know in your new book, Zero History, and in all of your books, you're making kind of educated guesses. You're working from the past, as you said, and the present to try to think a little bit about what the future is going to be. But you're also commenting on the present. You're using the future to comment on the present. When you write, are you thinking about your story first, your story and your characters and what's going to happen? Or are you thinking, I'm going to write a book that's going to comment on this? Or does the theme emerge as you're writing it?
Yeah, I'm not someone who actually has ideas very much in the absence of the process of writing.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're not a pontificator.
No, I don't think I'm not a very didactic writer. And in fact, what my method is to get the characters up and running to a degree that allows me to follow them around and discover some ideas. And eventually, when I'm near enough the end of the book, what the characters have been doing will suggest to me what the theme, if you could call it that, might actually be for a given book.
Now, this book, as I said before, is a third part of a trilogy, and trilogies are they're common and they're very popular in sci-fi. Do you have a sense of why that is, and what attracted you to these characters that and this world that you thought, well, this is going to be interesting to me, at least as a writer. It's going to sustain my interest for three books.
Well, really, the way I do it, I don't know that it's going to be a set of three books. I think, okay, it's going to be a novel. But history, you know, my own history has taught me that it's entirely likely that it will wind up being three novels, but they emerge sideways from one another rather than in any clear sequence. You can read them. When I write three books, you can read the last one first. And it's my, and it might even be more interesting to do it that way. So that's always been important to me, that they aren't these, you know, it's three books, but it's not three books in that genre, fantasy, SF sense, that it's really one very long novel published as three books in which the second volume will be rather slow and unsatisfying.
Now, I see, I guess I have to bring this up. I see that you're very active on Twitter. Your Twitter handle is Great Dismal.
Yes.
Can you reveal what the significance of that is, or is that a big secret?
Well, I was sitting on the couch one evening about a year ago, and a friend of mine in Berlin sent me one of those emails via Twitter that said something like, "I've just joined Twitter. Follow me at check this out." And I thought, "Oh, dear, that sounds terrible." And I thought, well, I'll check it out, and then I can mock it tomorrow.
Oh, and I said the same thing, my friend.
In my blog, but then I, you know, I went to do it, and I saw that I was required to have some sort of handle, and I didn't want to go by my own name, so I glanced at the bookshelf beside me, and there was a history of the Great Dismal Swamp called The Great Dismal. So I went, okay, Great Dismal. I'll be Great Dismal for 5 minutes.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, and the rest is history.
Well, I guess we can follow you at twitter.com/TheGreatDismal. Is that
yes.
It? Okay.
Just Great Dismal.
Great Dismal.
Capital
okay.
G, capital D.
I've been speaking with William Gibson about his latest novel, Zero History, which is published by Putnam, and about a lot of other things, too. William, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.